Please join me in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, our Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today's scripture readings invite us to consider a dizzying array of images. We'll consider four themes that revolve around some of these images. To begin, body. Jesus is a body. This is a simple statement that we shouldn't skim over too quickly. Jesus, God, is a body. At one basic level, as we observe and interact with the Jesus of the Gospels, we can understand, maybe this is God's way of saying, I am with you. I too have experienced in my body what you do. I hurt, I ache, I cry, laugh, eat, or don't eat, and I'm hungry and thirsty. I sleep, sometimes I don't sleep. I don't have enough money to have a stable place to stay. I'm mocked, I'm beaten. I'm also elated on a mountaintop and have felt the waters cradle me as I swim or hold me up as I walk upon them. Tormented by what ifs, tempted, angry, furious enough to throw things, yell, scream. I have felt the loneliness of being misunderstood by parents and dearest friends. I've run away for a while. Betrayal weighs on my shoulders like a heavy yoke. I have been liberated by forgiveness and I have never forgotten justice. I have been tortured. I have died in all the possible ways. Just as my body passed through the waters of the Jordan River in baptism, they passed through the floodwaters of death. I'm guessing each of us hears, feels, senses, or perceives echoes of Jesus's body and embodiment in our own. And these echoes are perhaps most powerfully conveyed through those who identify most with Jesus's suffering. For instance, Black feminist and scholar Anna Julia Cooper was born into bondage here in Raleigh. She went on to receive her undergraduate and graduate degrees before teaching at St. Ogg's and later in Washington, D.C. She's buried just a short distance away from this very gathering place. Cooper wrote the following in her momentous work, A Voice from the South. Speaking of Black women, she wrote, "In this country, her yet unwritten history is full of heroic struggle, a struggle against fearful and overwhelming odds that often ended in horrible death to maintain and protect that which woman holds dearer than life. The painful, patient, and silent toil of mothers to gain a fee simple title to the bodies of their daughters, the despairing fight as on an entrapped tigress to keep hallowed their own persons, would furnish material for epics. We were utterly destitute. Possessing no homes, nor the knowledge of how to make them, no money, nor the habit of acquiring it, no education, no political status, no influence, what could we do? We had remaining, at least, a simple faith that a just God is on the throne of the universe, and that somehow we could not see, nor did we bother our heads to try to tell how, he would in his own good time make all right that seemed most wrong." Making all right that seemed most wrong. After the most tragic of lows, the suffering, torture, burial, death, Jesus's body was made right. He has been restored. Not as a plastic, made over, remastered Ken Barbie doll version. No. Instead, as a seed that falls to the ground, whose body is broken open, and in the breaking becomes new life, an out of control vine climbing, producing fruit. Jesus's body is broken. He is buried and he is restored. The Colossians passage for today leads us to a second level on which Jesus's body matters. Not only is Jesus with us, He has also triumphed over empire. Indeed, Jesus's broken, buried, and restored body is the undoing of empire and its quest for domination. This is precisely because domination, violent power over life and death, is how empire functions. Jesus defeats empire by wresting away domination and control over life and death away from empire and extending life to everyone and everything, thereby destroying empire's very foundations. The Colossian passage also signals another body image. We are bodies, and we, the people of Jesus, are the body of Jesus. And Jesus is our head, our blueprint, director, and map. In other words, we are to be the humans who follow the lead of Jesus's body, broken recreating or breaking recreation. So how do we wrest control over domination and death-dealing empire with our bodies as Jesus's body? What can we do to snatch others from the jaws of systemic violence, torture, pain, and loss of self-determination? One answer, and our second theme, is bread. We need to eat, and we need to feed others. Bread is a central motif in Jesus's actions and teaching. Jesus was hungry, and he fed hungry people. In the prayer he teaches in the Luke passage for today, and in each of the gospel iterations of what we now call the Lord's Prayer, he says his followers should pray, "Give us the bread that we need for today." If we are struggling to find bread, if we don't have enough to eat, if we don't have enough to drink, if we don't have enough, this prayer makes imminent, immediate sense. It is urgent because our lives, our bodies, depend on it. And if we have bread already, if we're not hungry or thirsty and truly lack for no material thing, does this prayer lose its urgency? No. Not if we understand prayer as action, as we learned last week. Into this space of needing bread or needing to act about bread in some way, Jesus steps and tells a story, inviting us to consider what to do to be fed and to feed. Imagine you have a friend. Imagine you go to that friend and you ask them, "Loan me 3 loaves of bread. I don't have enough to feed my surprise guest." A dire situation in a culture organized in many ways around hospitality. Then imagine your so-called friend says, "Leave me alone. My kids and I are in bed and I'm too lazy to get up. Ugh." A shocking turn of events in which one friend doesn't have enough bread to practice the hospitality she longs to, and the other friend has the bread but refuses to be hospitable. But the friend who lacks doesn't give up and continues asking and knocking on the door. Finally, Jesus says, the inhospitable friend will get up and give his friend whatever she needs because of his friend's brashness. Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Everyone asks, receives. Everyone, whoever seeks, finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door is opened. As a follow-up to the prayer he's just taught his followers to pray, Jesus has invited his audience to find themselves in this story. Are we asking, receiving, seeking, finding, ignoring, rejecting, or listening, opening, and sharing? In this story, Jesus is real about the material differences between people. Some have bread, some don't. It, along with many of his other stories, also communicates that those who have more than enough, but wouldn't even make the choice to drag their body out of bed to share from that abundance, are the most likely to be truly impoverished and the least likely to be following his broken, resurrected body lead. This was something the earliest communities of Jesus' followers sought to remedy. Understanding that material inequality was at the heart of their spiritual malaise, they each shared their possessions with each other so that no one was lacking anything. In this vein, Ghanaian theologian Mercy Amba Odugyoye writes, "God, in sending Christ, has demonstrated the limited power of physical discomfort. God has asked us not to accept physical pain fatalistically, but with the power given us to put an end to it. In Jesus, God brings to us a style of life that puts others first, that saves others, leaving God to bring about the resurrection that will transform one's own wretchedness. At the end of the Luke passage, Jesus provides yet another way to follow his direction, the way of breaking recreation, broken recreating, which is our third theme, breath. Bodies need breath. Bodies cannot live without breath, just as they cannot live without bread or the sustenance of other food. So it is unsurprising then that after teaching his followers to pray for bread, he teaches them to pray for breath. That is, he teaches them to pray for who we call the Spirit. If you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Ask for ruach, Jesus says, just as you ask for bread. Ruach, or spirit in Hebrew and Aramaic, she is the breath hovering over the waters, the air in our lungs, the animating force of life that keeps us alive, not by our own conscious will, but through her grace. One of my most powerful visceral memories from childhood comes from a rather simple activity, riding my bike. We used to live at the top of a very tall hill in a very, very small town, about an hour and a half away from here. My best friend lived closer to the bottom of the hill. Since it was a small town, I kid you not, one stoplight, 900 people, everything within like a half mile radius, I could ride my bike everywhere I needed to go. And one of my favorite places to ride it was to my friend's house down the hill. I had to ride a little ways to get to one of the two roads that would take me down the hill. And usually, this might tell you a little bit about me, I chose the steeper and more thrilling route. And then I would fly, the wind rushing, cooling my skin, echoing loudly in my ears, ponytail whipping, loose 80s and 90s clothes flapping, thrilling me to the bone, enlivening me with breath and power, and a delicious sense of being dangerously out of control. Ask and you will receive this holy breath, Jesus says. As part of a broken, recreating, breaking recreation body, we pray, we act so that all may be able to breathe. But this prayer and this action may lead us to breathlessness. That is, it may lead us to our fourth theme, baptism. I was 10 years old when I was baptized. The church I grew up in didn't have a baptistry. During my childhood, the first building we used was a civic club, and the second was an old office building. So whenever we had baptisms, we did them at a local lake, or as in my case, at the First Baptist Church down the street. Thank you, Baptists. I remember my dad, who was also my pastor, talking to me about baptism and its significance. Why did I want to be baptized? It is hard for me to disentangle now whether I was only repeating the words I knew I should say because I had heard them said so many times, or whether I sincerely knew them to be true for me at that time. That I knew by the grace of Jesus I was saved, and that the baptism was a public proclamation of this. I remember donning a white robe. I remember walking down the steps of the baptistry into the water. And I remember holding my nose and my breath as my Father baptized me in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, I didn't hear that part because I was underwater, but I'm pretty sure he said. And I also remember feeling a little bit panicked about being under the water for that brief moment in time in which I couldn't control exactly when I was going to be coming back up. But then just as quickly, I was lifted up and began gasping for air immediately. In baptism, at least the form we practice here at RMC, we subject our bodies to the waters, to our own loss of breath, and experience the invigoration of breath regained. We do this to publicly claim that we will be marked as a people who give and receive bread and breath through our broken recreating, breaking recreation bodies, through this body. In this, we follow our leader, our head, the first and the last, the beginning and the end of breaking, recreating, and in so doing, we too triumph over empire. Again, Odoyoyi reflects. The debate over whether Jesus forgave sins before healing physical ills or vice versa exists because we create a dichotomy between the elements of human well-being. The human being is still an integrated person in Africa. The private and the political cannot be separated. Jesus exposed the structures of oppression that operated from temple and synagogue, those inherent in the interpretations of the law of God and what it means to be a people of God. Jesus worked for the soundness of persons and structures, both religious and social. Just as in the Hebrew scriptures, Yahweh rescued people from childlessness and disease, famine and fire, from flood and from the deep sea, from disgrace and humiliation. So we find Jesus in the New Testament, snatching people away from all domination, even from the jaws of death. He redeems by a strong hand all who are in the bondage of sin and who manifest their being in the service of sin by exploiting their neighbors. May our bodies, the bread and the breaths we ask for and receive, and the baptism in which we participate, through breaking, recreating, crush the empires of this world and usher in the kingdom of God, which we urgently pray will come. Amen.